This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with someone who sounds a lot better this week.
Not only do I sound better, Josh, now do I sound better?
You do, and your name is Brandon. I forgot to say that earlier.
That's correct. My name is Brandon and I do feel great too. I sound good and I feel good. I feel like I'm back to 100%.
Yep, I can tell. Like the hacking cough is finally gone.
You know what? I don't get sick very often, and we'll talk about Dele Alli at some point, I'm sure. But it's rare that you see a player who he doesn't play due to illness. Usually, it's because some cartilage was torn,
yeah,
or some nose was bloodied. but you forget that these athletes actually come down with really terrible colds and sinus infections, and in that way, they're very much like we are.
Although he was celebrating with the team after the game, I saw a photo of him. So I don't really, it's kind of a weird one. I don't know.
Maybe he was just drunk.
That's probably what it was. Damn you, Ellie. All right, Brandon, let's jump right into it. So we want to turn this, so we're recording on Wednesday night. It's after the, after all 10 matches have been played. Want to get this recorded and get it turned around quickly so people can listen to it before game week 25 starts on Saturday.
Yeah, I was trying to do some quick calculations, and I was thinking by the time we get this posted, listeners will have approximately 50 to 55 hours to listen before the next game week. So our goal is to keep this podcast under 55 hours long.
Exactly. We average,
just so the math works.
We average 52 to 53 hours, so we're okay. You can usually listen. You can listen to it all the way through at once, but usually you can do it twice.
Right.
So a little change there. All right, Brandon. So let's talk about game week 24. Let's do a quick recap of where we sit.
Okay. Well, yeah, why don't I go first? Because you have more exciting things to talk about than I do. I had a vintage FPL game week in that all of the excitement happened in the first 25 minutes of the entire game week, and then it petered out entirely from there. I captained Aguero. He got a very unsexy 5 points after looking really smart at the start of that Sunderland game. So I ended up with 10 from Aguero. I got 2 goals from Kane, a goal and assist from Ali. But from there, it was really all down to my defense. So if you look at my 2 goalkeepers and my 5 defenders, I got 5 out of 7 clean sheets, which is, I mean, in a season like this.
You keep saying this, though, like it matters what you had on the bench. Like you didn't play a bench boost. Like you were so giddy about all these clean sheets that don't count.
Listen, I'm a systems guy, okay? And if I've got the system working, then clearly something is going right for me. Now, I ended up benching 2 of those clean sheets with Robert Huth and Virgil van Dijk, and Glenn Johnson came in with 1 point for me against Manchester United. So that didn't work out for me. But Aaron Cresswell with 9 points, he was one of my big transfers. I went full on with West Ham.
Yeah, the Cresswell move worked out really well. Piatt, a bit more disappointing. We'll get to him in a little bit. So what was your final score this game week, Brennan?
Ended up with 64.
Okay. That's respectable.
Yeah, it's hard to see what since we're recording this before the game's fully updated, it's hard to see what the average is going to be. I mean, I can't imagine that Ross Barkley is going to really throw the average off. I think I'll still be above. But 64, yeah, I'm happy with that.
I think 60 is what I've heard the average is going to be.
Okay, so I'm above average. And if I get another green arrow, right now I'm hovering around 360,000 overall. So long as I keep sub 400,000, I'll be happy.
Okay, that's fair. And I had an excellent game week. A little, you know, there's always a little sting. This week I made the wrong transfer. I finally brought in Aguero. It had to be done. I was feeling great when he scored that early goal and then picked up a yellow card. And as everyone knows, the FPL system destroys you when one of your players acquires a yellow card. It is like almost impossible to get any bonus points once you picked up a yellow card. And so despite scoring the only goal, the game-winning goal in a 1-0 game, Sergio Aguero ended up with 5 points, which is basically the equivalent of getting like an assist from a midfielder.
Now, should we actually reinstate our calling Aguero slash during this podcast?
Oh yeah, let's just keep calling him Slash. So if you hear us refer to someone as Slash, we're talking about Sergio Kun Aguero.
The X-Man that is Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, because my ears, I'm so sick of talking about Sergio Aguero after 20, however, God knows how many weeks we've been doing this podcast now. I'm sick of talking, just the word Aguero now, like, is he healthy? Is he going to score? What's he going to do? It's just too much. So he's Slash, named after our second favorite member of Guns N' Roses, after Duff.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's not Damien Duff, former Chelsea and Fulham man.
So, I had a great week, though. Finished with 84 points, Captain Aguero, but I had Kane, I had Barkley, Alley, and then I actually had clean sheets from all four of my defenders, Smalling, Bellerin, and Schmeichel. And then Van Dijk too, which was incredible because I didn't want to burn 4 points to bring in a defender, and I didn't have a great option there. So I kind of threw Van Dijk in and prayed, and so I picked up the clean sheet there thanks to Fraser Forrester's Fraser Forrester's I think Fraser Forrester had 47 saves in this game.
It's 46.
It was 46. Okay, yeah. So he picked up 13, like it was like 13 bonus points, I think was the way it worked out. So 47 assists and 13 bonus. He actually broke the game. They had to reset the game. So we're all actually back at zero now. The whole game.
He broke the game so hard that the site that we always recommend to follow live tracking of BPS, a new PLA, they actually had removed Forrester from their system, and it was displaying like Ryan Bertrand was the goalkeeper.
It was weird.
Southampton. Yeah. Forrester was just in another dimension.
So 84 was great, especially with Barkley today. I mean, it's so just a great feeling. I mean, that game was looking like he was going to pick up 3 points. Actually looked great in the second half. And with Lukaku subbed, he was basically playing as a forward. Kone is just so bad. So he set Kone up for a number of opportunities. Really, he could have had 2 goals and 2 assists. But you never know how the game's going to work out if they score earlier. They might have even subbed him out. So the way it worked out was great. 2 penalties in the last probably 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Last one was a very cheeky Panenka, which I was not expecting.
The balls on this guy.
The John Stones on this guy. So he picked up 16, and I finished with 84 points overall, which is finally enough for me to – it's four green arrows in a row. I've moved about 500,000 spots, so I kind of feel like the worst – just all of the bad decisions that I've made this year are finally starting to I don't know. Like I'm working my way out. It's amazing how much crap I still have on my team. I have no bench at all. It is just all garbage.
Ashley Westwood is still hanging in there.
And really, I'm just biding my time until they announce the double game weeks, at which point I'm going to play my wild card. But until then, I'm going by on a thin bench, and it's worked out well the last 4 weeks.
I couldn't believe this Ross Barkley thing, so much so that I'm going to call you Ross Barkley for the rest of this podcast.
So, you know, I don't want to talk too much about the Hail Cheaters League. We'll have to talk about it on Twitter and Facebook. Hail Cheaters Super League. And that's because the scores haven't been updated yet. And, you know, it's interesting. I actually have a red arrow on that right now because we added a ton of new managers this game week, which is kind of cool.
Ahoy. Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, and part of that may have been because we were on a podcast called the Across the Pond podcast, which was I think it was released on it was either Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which day it was released. And it's an American podcast where they talk about the English Premier League. Guys are really smart and really nice, and it was great being on that podcast. So if you want to listen to a good English Premier League podcast, I would definitely check that out. It's Across the Pond, and it's on iTunes and they're on SoundCloud as well.
Yeah, they have a cool website, acrossthepond.co. And yeah, I just have to reiterate, I had a great time doing it with Chris, Miles, and Shay, a couple of Liverpool fans and a Manchester United fan. So certainly if you're fans of either of those clubs, yeah, you'll get a lot out of the podcast because they know their stuff with regard to those teams.
And if you want to hear me talk less fantasy, more generally about my feelings, my sort of tortured Arsenal fandom, you can certainly get it there. So, but anyway, you had a ton of people join the league this week, and it looks like, it's just too early to tell, isn't it? It looks like Owen O'Keefe is going to hold into first place, but we'll know more later tonight. So let's just move right into the game week, Brandon, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's jump in.
All right. So we're going to try to move a little more quickly than usual in this one and getting it closer to the preview. So let's start off with so we'll do three fixtures and then we'll move on to a couple hot topics and then preview game week 25. So first fixture is Arsenal Southampton. Not on the surface the most exciting match to review, mostly because there were no goals.
It was a very exciting match to watch a 2-minute long highlight reel, though, just to watch Fraser Forrester in action. Let's preface all this by saying, as Americans and our Across the Pond friends would sympathize with this, these types of midweek game weeks are terrible for us because all these games are happening while we're at work. And I watched maybe a total of 15 minutes live of this game week on my phone.
It's so tough. You watch it and you kind of flip your phone up to take a look. You can kind of watch on your desktop sort of, but you feel a little guilty about it. It's just, if anyone came in, like you feel like you're going to get fired, just not a good scene. So we both of us did watch the highlights, however, and I was sort of tracking it. I mean, basically, it's very hard to get work done when these matches are on, right?
The Twitter stream is basically like you're in the Matrix. It's the ones and zeros appearing before your eyes, and you can basically piece the action together in real time following Twitter.
Which is not always the most enjoyable way to follow the Premier League, I will say, too, because usually my eyes are rolling so hard. You know, it'll be Fraser Forster gets his, 12th save, and then someone, of course, has a screen grab of them, triple captaining Fraser Forster this week. And they're like, yeah, I guess it worked out okay, huh? And it's always this, bragging thing, nobody believed in me. No one cared. There was no believing or not believing. No one was paying attention to you.
There was a guy in our private league who captained Aaron Cresswell this week. What a maverick move.
I saw that.
So Guy Yedweb, if you're listening, shout out to you.
Fraser Forrester, now 4 clean sheets in a row and 12 points in this last game week. It's almost like getting a bonus clean sheet. So
now I don't know what to make of the Southampton team now that the Matt Target impact is taken out of the equation because Target didn't start in this game.
Yeah, but
the clean sheets roll on.
There's a huge run on Matt Target, and now now it looks a little hairier. I think you could really make an argument for doubling up on the Swansea defense right now. Not an argument.
The Southampton defense.
Excuse me. Yeah, thank you. The Southampton defense. Just given the run of fixtures coming up for them, it's pretty good almost through the rest of the season, I have to say. Home to West Ham, away to Swansea, home to Chelsea, away to Bournemouth, home to Sunderland in the next 5. They honestly could keep clean sheets in all 5 of those matches.
Yeah, and that slide tackle.
Away to Stoke in week 6. I mean, that's another one.
The slide tackle that Virgil van Dijk had on Mesut Ozil in the dying minutes of that game, he slid the ball basically straight to Alexis Sanchez, but it was such an epic clean, perfect tackle, you can see that defense is really oozing with confidence. And I totally agree. You've got to be looking to invest in that defense if you haven't already.
So
how much does Frazier Forster cost right now? Because
$4.8 million.
Okay. All right. So
very affordable. I mean, you could move from Butlin to Forster and actually save money.
Which would be a smart move, I'd say. I mean, I wouldn't classify 4.8 as a bargain, but it's money well spent.
Yeah, agreed. So, the flip side of the – okay, so a couple of things to cover here with Southampton, or maybe just one more thing to cover, which is Charlie Austin doesn't play at midweek. Ronald Koeman says that he has some sort of he didn't really – I don't even think he really said what it was, just some sort of like
– a degenerative birth defect?
Yeah. I don't know if it has to do with his hamstring or – I think it was a leg injury. But he says he'll probably be ready for this weekend. So we don't know what's going on with Lukaku yet. Lukaku came off injured at the midway point of the Everton-Newcastle match. And there was a – in the press conference afterwards, Martinez said that he wasn't sure – he wasn't sure about him for the weekend, that he was kind of walking funny, had a bit of a back issue. I think it was more of a precautionary measure. But given how fast the turnaround is here, we're talking about just a couple days, and given the fact that they just signed this new forward, it's possible that Lukaku doesn't start this weekend. And even if he does start, he's really been in pretty terrible form in the last four or five game weeks. And he's off in game week 27. So –
yeah, just one assist in the last five game weeks. I've had it up to here with troll Lukaku.
So the point of me bringing all this up is Southampton team in great form. Looks like Charlie Austin is going to play this weekend. Not clear yet if he's going to start, and that may be something we find out more as the week goes on. If he looks like he's a starter this game week, I think he's a very interesting option for people who are looking to bring in or looking to take out Lukaku. And what makes that even more appealing is that you save about $2 million, and that $2 million maybe could turn into an upgrade for someone like Alexis Sanchez.
Man, that would be a maverick move, I'll tell you what. And I'm kind of done poo-pooing your ideas, like your Firmino transfer ideas. I kind of can't do that anymore. But so I won't poo-poo the Charlie Austin move, but I will say, damn, that would be maverick, super maverick.
Be maverick, but if you're trying to make a move, it could be an interesting, could be an interesting option. So okay, let's get into Arsenal, and I'm gonna actually do this through a bunch of questions that we got on Twitter and Facebook. So it's really it's an interesting range of questions, actually. So let's actually take. Let's take the third one first, Brandon. This comes from Owen O'Keefe, currently in first place in our league. Do you think it's time to drop Ozil and either bring in Sanchez or a gamble player at this point of the season to try and climb in the rankings? So, just to simplify this question for everybody, I guess. How are you? You own Ozil. I don't have Ozil on my team right now. Yeah. How do you feel about having Ozil, moving forward?
It's really tough to say. Ozil has been so disappointing the last month or so. I mean, he's been disappointing since the end of the festive period, as is that. But that whole Arsenal team has been disappointing. You watch, like we did, the highlights of the Southampton-Arsenal game. Ozil was getting all these tremendous chances. Now, who else was getting all the chances? It was Alexis Sanchez. So the logical move, I think, if you're looking to move Ozil, is to do a swap for Sanchez, but that also assumes that you want to stick with Arsenal. Kind of the larger, more philosophical question is, how do you see Arsenal finishing out this season? And I can't believe that they won't let these doldrums sort of carry with them for the remainder of the season. They will perk up again.
It does feel like it's an open question, which actually brings us to another Twitter question, which is from Al Mandrigo. He basically asks the opposite. He says, is it time to double up on Ozil and Sanchez? And he made a couple other arguments on there, which is basically that, they're overdue for a bounce back. They're away to a Bournemouth team, and Arsenal tends to be, they're kind of like a flat track bully type team. They tend to kick the asses of teams that they're quite a bit better than. So I think that they could be due for, and they actually looked pretty, it's disappointing that they couldn't score a single goal in that Southampton game, but Frazier Forster did make 12 saves, and a good half dozen of them were really quite excellent point blank saves. And I mean, it could have been a 2-0, 3-0 game. And I think that you can't attribute everything to Forrester, but I do think that, I mean, the, you know, it's, they still have to get past the other team. There's no, you know, it's, you could chalk some of it up to bad luck, I think, and or you know,
I totally agree.
Superior skills on the other team.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the thing about Alexis Sanchez, if you're looking to go one or the other, is, as we know, Alexis Sanchez is just that much more explosive. And we can talk about this more when we get to the Game Week 25 optimizer. But I see Alexis Sanchez as one of the top captain candidates, even though they're away. They're away to Bournemouth. But I agree, they're due. And yeah. Sanchez would be one to target for a big haul in Game Week 25.
I certainly, I would still be looking at Dele Alli if you didn't have him. I, you know, just, we keep not talking about him, and we keep thinking of him as being not in the same price bracket as someone like, or because
he's
not in the same
price
bracket.
We also assume that you already have Dele Alli. Why don't you have Dele Alli? Get him.
His ownership is still only about a quarter of the league, and you know, I know that's been climbing the last few weeks, but, you know, he's really, I think, a must-own player at this point. And, you know, I think the problem with
how are you feeling about Arsenal? I guess you're just about to say how you're feeling, but you haven't owned anyone in the Arsenal midfield apart from a really poor run with Theo Walcott during the holidays.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I'm debating moving Lukaku into Olivier Giroud, which I think would it would solve a couple of problems for me. One is it would give me more coverage for Game Week 27 because Lukaku is not playing that game week. And I really like Arsenal's run of fixtures the next few game weeks. They're away to Bournemouth, home to Leicester, away to Man U, home to Swansea. Three out of four of those are really excellent fixtures. And there's no competition for Olivier Giroud. There's no one, you know, the Arsenal don't have a second striker.
Right.
Insanely. I mean, I don't know how, like, you know, I feel like I always get very heated when I talk about Arsenal because it's the one team that I really feel a personal connection to. But, you know, it's just madness to go into the season with one guy. And,
You go on one vacation to the French countryside, wine tasting with Arsene Wenger. Exactly. Suddenly you have some quote personal connection to the team.
I know. It's true. I'm corrupted. But I think that Arsenal away to Bournemouth could be. I think you're right. I think you could see a lot of goals in that match. The problem with Sanchez is it's just hard to afford him. You know, I mean, 10.9 million. A lot of people just rearranged their teams in order to bring in Sergio Aguero. It's, you know, you have to do what I don't know about you, but it would take at least two moves for me to move Alexis Sanchez in at 10.9 million. And this is Alexis Sanchez who, as we said in the last podcast, has been very inconsistent this season. Outside of a run where he had three double figure hauls, he really hasn't done very much. You know, I think he had like one assist in the last seven or eight game weeks before he got injured. So, I don't feel like I'm really. So just to sum up, I think hold on Ozil because he did look pretty good in that game week, and we know what he can do. And the fixtures coming up are good. Wait on Sanchez because it's just not clear that you're going to get your money's worth from Sanchez.
I just have this belief that I'm going to walk out the front door tomorrow morning and I'm going to find £6 million pounds on my doorstep, which will allow me to turn Jordan Henderson into Alexis Sanchez. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. And Scott Gill had a similar question about the mids, but I think we kind of answered it. So, Scott, we see you. We're not going to answer your question, but we do see you.
We appreciate the effort, Scott.
So the next question or the next fixture is Everton Newcastle. This is a 3-0 win. I put our little running order together when it was still 1-0.
Yeah, give me your hot take on this one, Ross Barkley.
So the question here is, and actually it's interesting because it did change as the match went on. So what to do with Lukaku and anyone else on Everton? So they win 3-0. Lukaku goes off at halftime for the reasons that I just articulated. I think that Charlie Austin and if you're looking for a like,
you mean Charlie Awesome,
Charlie Awesome. If you're looking for a like for like move, I think that Giroud makes a lot of sense for the reasons I just enumerated. Yeah. I think that Charlie Austin is a nice way to free up a little bit of money, but it's obviously a risky move. If you don't have Harry Kane, that's obviously probably the best move you could make. I mean, given their form, given their fixtures, I think you really want some Spurs coverage. When I have two Spurs players right now, and we both have Ali. You have three Spurs, in fact.
Yeah, I have Eric Dier as well. Ali, Kane, and Dier.
Yeah, and I have Ali and Kane, and it's worked out basically every single week.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because Ali really came through again this week, and. You know, I really, 3 weeks ago when I transferred him in, I was really kicking myself or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, because, he had a blank and I was like, I can't believe I made that move. And it's a reminder that when you make these moves, you've got to think, over the course of 3 or 4 weeks, what the average haul is going to be, because everyone blanks,
sounds like a good children's book.
Yeah, like everybody poops.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
it's going to happen, and you just wanted to average out in the long run. So, I didn't get anything from Ali that first game week, but I've had double figure hauls, 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. Ross Barkley, I'm really kicking myself for bringing in a player who's in no form last week. And then I pick up 16 this week for an average of 9 for the last 2 weeks.
I mean, it was very good fortune for you, Ross Barkley, the FPL manager, that Ross Barkley turns out to also be on penalties after Lukaku, sees something in the stands that spooks him and he can't play in the second half. Yeah,
but there's always good fortune and bad fortune. I mean, I captained Jamie Vardy a few weeks ago and he was clear on goal and hits it off the crossbar by about an inch and a half, right? I mean, that's maybe he slipped on the grass a little bit and he was unlucky. I mean, luck runs both ways, I mean, I've had a lot of bad luck this year, so.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I'm trying to not be super knee-jerky about Lukaku after this Newcastle game, but I'm ready to drop him, immediately. I have this strong impulse to drop him. I mean, goals in 5 weeks, and now it looks like he's got a little knock. He's a doubt for the weekend. I've got to look for another option.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said for writing out a little bit. I mean, the fixtures, especially if you have enough team depth that you can bench him in game week 27, or at least kind of assess and see what's happening with him. I think so. Stoke away, not a great fixture for them, but then they're home to West Brom and away to Aston Villa in game week 26 and 28, and then of course they will eventually have that double game week too, which we still. We don't know when that's going to be played. So I think it's still a little up in the air, I think, with Lukaku. I mean, I'm probably going to transfer him out because the way my team is structured, I think that that's the best move for me this week. I don't have a glaring hole elsewhere.
Yeah.
So you think you're probably going to bring him out too? Who are you looking at if you brought him out?
Well, gosh, I honestly have no idea. I'm still lost in game week 24 La La Land. I mean, I've got what did we calculate? 55 hours to actually think about my transfers for game week 25. Uh-huh. I guess maybe this could be my time to bring in Odion Ighalo.
Yeah, Ighalo is an interesting option.
I mean, they've got away to Spurs, away to Palace, and home to Bournemouth, and then United. It's a tricky run of fixtures, but the man continues to fire. And he scored against
Spurs about 5 weeks ago.
And this is my time in the season to relive everyone's favorite bandwagons from early in the season. I brought in Dimitri Payet last week, and maybe now I can bring in Ighalo. Who else can I bring in from early in the day? Hey, maybe I could get Colin Wilson in my squad.
Troy Deeney, perhaps?
Actually, no. Speaking of Bournemouth, why don't I look at Benika Fobe, who, unbelievable, 3-3 for this guy. 3-3. He's at 6.1. How many different ways can I say he scored 3 goals in 3 matches?
And also, interestingly, 7 points, 8 points, and 8 points. So, unlike our previous favorite 3-3 guy, Bafétimbi Gomis, he doesn't play offsides he doesn't get called for offsides every 8 minutes.
Yep.
So he's able to actually accrue some bonus points, which is, I mean, I think 6.1 too. I mean, that would free up some sweet, sweet cash for you, Brandon.
Yeah, and let's see. Bournemouth's run of fixtures, home to Arsenal, home to Stoke. So that's 2 home fixtures in a row. Then away to Watford and home to Southampton. So 3 home fixtures and 4.
And then Newcastle and Swansea after that.
So, I don't know. I'm liking that pick. Yeah. And that frees up much cash.
Sanchez much cash money.
For Sanchez, yeah.
And he plays in game week 27, which is the all important. I mean, at this point, I don't want to make a move for a player who is going to be out in like 2 weeks from now. You know, it's just, I don't have the bench depth to do that, to be totally honest. And I'm almost positive that I'm going to be playing my wild card before the next double game week. So I don't feel too concerned about shelving players. You know, I mean, I'm just going to transfer players out if they're not playing in that game week. I mean, outside of Sergio Aguero.
Yeah. If I bring in Afobe for Lukaku, I'm 0.7 short of turning Jordan Henderson into Sanchez. So very close.
Tough one.
That would have been an amazing, amazing combo move right there.
Just a reminder, the teams that are out in game week 27 are Everton, Liverpool, Man City, and Newcastle. And all of whom will have double game weeks at some point down the line. All right, Brandon.
Need to talk about Newcastle at all? I mean, new signings, Jonjo Shelvey. Andros Townsend gets his first start today. He looked predictably hot garb.
Yeah, he did look hot garb. He won a couple free kicks. That was pretty much the extent of it. Yeah, let's not even talk about Newcastle. They stink.
Yeah.
When they have a double game week down the line, we'll talk about them. Shelvey looked okay. You know, he's the one guy who looks pretty good on them the last couple – who's right. looked pretty good on that team the last couple game weeks.
Right. All right, let's move on to the inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Leicester, Liverpool. So this is a tough one for you, right? I mean, you –
It's tough in so many ways.
Yeah, you drop Mahrez a couple game weeks for Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
Mahrez with just looking like peak Mahrez again, right? I mean, absolutely beautiful long ball to Jamie Vardy. Vardy score. A great goal from Vardy, of course. And a little bittersweet for me because I had dropped Jamie Vardy, but I was still it didn't bother me too much at the time because
at that point you're thinking you're on bonus points for Sergio Aguero, who was your transfer there, and maybe even more goals.
Right. So it felt like a net kind of whatever. And so, you know, in the end, I guess it cost me like 8 points. I mean, I wasn't going to captain him if I had him. So, you know, it's you can get really caught up in how many points you would have had, but in the end it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
So, so Vardy and Mahrez seem to be back.
And I benched Robert Huth, my cuddly defensive teddy bear. So this game was just like a total colossal disaster for me, staring Jordan Henderson's 2 points, staring me right in the face.
I went back and forth on whether I was going to have Schmeichel or Butland as my goalkeeper. And I really felt like I felt like Butland was the pick, and then at the last, like literally minutes before the time went up, you know, before the transfer deadline, I moved Schmeichel in, and or what is it the transfer deadline, the team set whatever it is, the deadline to set your team. I switched it from Butland to Schmeichel, and that was a nice 5 point pickup there. And the reason why is just Liverpool have played so many matches. This is their fourth match in 11 days or something like that. They played in the Capital One Cup semi. They played in the FA Cup over the weekend, and then this game. So and then in the game with the weekend before.
I have a big question about this game. So the night before the game week deadline, Jordan Henderson gets flagged as 75% doubt because of an eye injury. I didn't see a single thing about anything being wrong with this dude's eye. All the reports were about him missing out in the FA Cup match due to a heel complaint, but then he was past 100% fit. But there is this eye flag in the game, and I could not figure out what the deal was.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, did he get LASIK or something on Monday?
He might have gotten LASIK. I was expecting him. That would be amazing if Henderson – he should have played with those Alex Song, like, orange shooter glasses.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Actually, he should have just gone, like, straight up Walter from the Big Lebowski, like, yellow-tinted shooter aviator glasses.
So we didn't talk about Vardy as a possible forward option. Tempting, certainly, given his form, given how great that goal. I mean, that's the kind of goal that makes you think I want to have that guy on my team. You know,
for the love of the game.
Just because, exactly. And I had him for 10 weeks or so or longer maybe, and it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun, Brandon. Oh God.
Oh, don't act like you were there from the beginning. You got him like in the tail end of
when his. I still had him for like six of those weeks. You know, I missed the first flush, but I joined late. So the problem though is that if you were to, I mean, if I were to say to you, Brandon, like, what are the two worst back-to-back fixtures a team could have this season? Like, what are the two most difficult fixtures you could have for an attacking player?
Yep, I would probably say Norwich and Aston Villa. Yeah, or Newcastle. Either of those three, really. Take your pick.
Yeah.
I know the answer to this question, and it's Man City and Arsenal.
Yeah, so they have Man City away and Arsenal away back-to-back. And those are probably the two hardest fixtures they'll have all year. I mean, this is the gauntlet they have to overcome. Really, they're just going to try to survive these fixtures, right? I mean, I doubt they'll even, given how Ranieri's played against the top teams already, I don't think this will be an all-out attack type of fixture in either case. I think that
they're going to be playing for draws in both cases, one would assume.
Exactly. So I think
these are going to be the most pure watchable non-pure watches, copyright alwayscheating.com, that'll happen all season.
I still have Mahrez, and I'm certainly going to start Mahrez away to Man for both these fixtures, but I do not plan to transfer Jamie Vardy, and I just don't think that transferring a player in right before a really important, you know, important for both teams, Saturday morning, it's the early match on Saturday. I just think it's really I would be very nervous about having him for this game or about bringing him in. It just seems like, yeah,
totally,
you could be looking at a two-pointer or maybe 6 points. But, I mean, it's possible he'll score a goal, but he's probably not going to be the one who scores the most goals. You know, it's probably the bonus points are probably going to go to someone on Man City. So even if you get a goal from him, it could just be a 6-pointer. And this is probably going to be a tetchy affair. So maybe he'll get a yellow card, too. Yeah. And I know it sounds like I'm protesting too much now. Like I'm feeling nervous about it. Maybe I am a little nervous about it, to be honest. I mean, he scored three goals in the last two matches. He's clearly back in form.
Yeah.
I want to bring him back in for game week 27, which is the home fixture to Norwich.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely eyeing up 27 for. That's around the time that wild cards might start getting deployed, and I reconsider my Leicester options.
Yeah, exactly. So it's – which, you know, if I'm planning to bring him in, and I feel very confident about bringing him in for game week 27, you could argue that you just want to stick it out with Lukaku, you know, and just wait out those 2 weeks. And yeah, it's a tough one. You know, we'll see. I also wouldn't mind bringing in Giroud for 2 weeks and then bringing him out for game week 27. That's how – I mean, he could score a hat trick in that Norwich fixture on game week 27. That's how
– that is the way the Giroud game is played.
Exactly.
You bring him in, you toss him out.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So Liverpool disappoints, but they've got a pretty good run of fixtures coming up. I assume you're not planning to drop Henderson.
Yeah, I keep Henderson home to Sunderland. I've got to. His playing time is like just barely enough to justify his existence. He keeps getting, you know, 60 to 65 minutes. And if he can do something, even just if it's an assist against Sunderland, then with that and the goal that I got last game week, I will consider it a successful transfer and I'll dump him.
I think that's fair. Okay, so let's move on to our hot topics.
Funny how Firmino is just swept under the rug after this Leicester game.
I know. I mean, he's so hot and cold.
Yeah.
All right, so the first question are non/forwards. And so the question here is really not – it's less so – okay.
Slash meaning the greatest guitar soloist of all time, looking at songs like Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, November Rain.
Yeah, I would argue as a guitar player that Slash really is essential. I think his guitar playing on Patience in particular, I think, really carries that song through.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget about Mr. Brownstone.
Yeah. I was going to say David Silva's whistling solo at the end of Patience is really remarkable.
Yeah, exactly. So at Tingerson says, is Slash essential? And I believe he's referring to a player who's sometimes referred to as Sergio Kun Aguero. And he says, Man City's form doesn't look – yeah, he's got some grammar issues here.
Sure, sick.
Try to correct them for him. Man City's form doesn't look set up for Slash to get tons of points, especially when Kane, Vardy are in form. So, yeah, he's essential. You have to have Sergio Aguero. He just is.
It's disappointing that he only gets 5 points on the game week despite scoring a goal. But the fact remains that's 3 game weeks in a row where he's scoring. And that's 4 out of 5 game weeks running that he's got goals under his belt. That's what we expect from Slash. And there will be more to come. And you can guarantee that.
Yeah, and I am all for having a lot of differentials in your team. I really do try to play that way. I think it's more fun to play that way. But the problem is too many people above you in the rankings are going to have Slash. Not only that, but Slash has 2 home fixtures coming up. First one against a lesser team that we know teams can score on. Even if this is a tighter fixture, there's a good chance they'll score in this game. And then it's a home match to Tottenham, which is kind of for our friend Kuhn / Sergio / whatever we're going to call him. He is to Tottenham the way Luis Suarez used to be to Norwich, where whenever Luis Suarez played Norwich, he'd score somewhere between 300 and 500 goals. It was incredible. He would actually score a goal on the kickoff. Like the ball would be kicked and he would start scoring goals. He started scoring
more. And then he had other balls under his shirt that he would just produce and start throwing into the goal.
Harlem Globetrotters. It was ridiculous. That's right. And I remember once he actually brought Puskas onto the field and he and Puskas had a who can score the better goal competition. This is in the middle of the match. It was crazy.
I really miss having Luis Suarez in the league. Just for moments too. that you're describing right there.
He was great.
True original.
Yeah, you've got to have Slash. Come on. I mean, I know that he was not the top. If you captained somebody else this game week, you know, more power to you. There were a lot of good options. We talked about it on the podcast. I mean, I think, Harry Kane away to Norwich, I was really worried about that match, and rightly so. Because I have Kane, but I was worried about missing out on points for him as a captain because that was just such a great fixture for him, and he did pick up 13.
We almost lost Slash for a few game weeks. Did you see the cleat rake that he got on the back of his calf when he scored that goal?
I didn't.
It was really nasty. I forget the Sunderland player who actually raked the back of his leg, but he tore the back of Slash's sock clean off. Wow. And apparently he was complaining about it for the rest of the game and wasn't quite 100%. So I think we need to count ourselves lucky that Slash is still in the game.
Yeah. Okay. So brings us to next question. These are all forward questions. The other one is from Block 99, Block 98, who says Kane versus Lukaku, Lukaku versus Vardy, Vardy versus Ighalo. The merits of all four, now that the captain is out of the equation due to Slash. So Lukaku, we've sort of dealt with. Kane to me is the absolute essential second forward, especially given the fixtures.
He's really got that swagger right now that we saw so often last season. And I agree, you've got to have him. He looks like he wants to score at any moment.
Yeah,
and he's got Ollie pushing him to that level too. So
that's true. And so Vardy we've talked about, Ighalo we've talked about, and actually the another question that we got actually ties in with this, which is from our friend Uppercut Panda, who asks, is Rooney a viable option for one of our 3 forward spots? And we haven't even talked about Rooney. I mean, Rooney had a goal and an assist in this game week. He's actually picked up some pretty massive point hauls in the last – so he blanks at home to Southampton. But around that blank are an 8-point haul, 16, 9, and then 10 in this game week. So looking really good. Run of fixtures is – decent, not great. Way to Chelsea. That seems like a 0-0 draw to me.
Set up for a 0-0 for sure. And it's at the Bridge.
Yeah. Away to Sunderland, home to Arsenal, home to Watford. The fixtures aren't great. They're okay. But he is looking a lot better. Yeah. And they're probably not going to take the Europa League all that seriously. So it's you'd expect him to start every match and when Rooney in good form, historically, not so much this season, has been a near must-own player.
Yeah, another plug for the episode of Across the Pond that we were on this week. There was a long discussion about Wayne Rooney's form at the end of that particular episode, particularly talking about how he's going to look in the Euros. But I ended up sort of coming down on the side against Wayne Rooney with our Across the Pond friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad seeing how well he was clicking with the United team in the most recent game, and he got that goal and an assist. And I guess I'm left to reconsider him. But then again, looking at how decent Jesse Lingard and Anthony Martial also looked in that game, and you're considering that these guys are far cheaper than $10 million, which is what Rooney costs right now. Yeah. So maybe the question is not should we look at Wayne Rooney, but should we be looking at Manchester United? And if we are,
right, Martial down to $7.5 million.
Yeah, and you know he also looked at a goal and an assist at that game. And let's see, who did he in that Stoke game? So I might even be tempted to go for Martial over Rooney.
It's an interesting show. They both look good. I wish they weren't away to Chelsea in the next game week. I just can't see them scoring in that fixture. But you know, long term, I think you're right. I think Martial might be the better player to look at just because he's so much cheaper than Wayne Rooney.
Lingard is 4.2 million, and he looks like a nailed on starter at this point. The last four game weeks, he's got 63 minutes, 65, and then two full 90s. So yeah, if you're wild carding and looking to fill your fifth mid spot,
that's a great shout, Brandon. I mean, 4.2 is, yeah. So he's played the last four fixtures, finally starting to run into form, which would seem to indicate that he's going to play somewhere close to every game week or you know, thereabouts. Sure.
Particularly now that they're actually winning games.
Does play in game week 27, which could be really valuable if you are, you know, looking to fill the full squad that game week. Okay. So another reason. So he's someone to keep an eye out for as well. I agree. Okay. All right, let's move on to the next hot topic. It's Jack Butland. We've got two different questions. Another one from Uppercut Panda. Should we start jumping off the once fantastic Butland bandwagon? And then Chris Sozo says, Butland's run of clean sheets happened when shot costs returned to the team. Without him, they aren't as solid. So
These questions always make me so sad, particularly with guys like Jack Butland, who seem like such interesting, nice guys. Mm-hmm. And he was such a great story of the first half of the season. Add him to my list of Paya and Agallo bandwagons that I want to ride at some point during the season.
But it's
clear that Stoke team is on the downturn, which we had actually picked them as a team you wanted to double up defensively like a month ago.
Yeah, another sign that we're often wrong.
But I've been trying to get something out of Glenn Johnson for a solid month now, and it's been nothing doing. And I agree that Stoke defense is really kind of a non-starter right now.
Yeah, it's so they have not kept a clean sheet in five of the last six matches. Run of fixtures coming up is actually pretty solid, I have to say. I have Jack Butland, and I am probably going to start him for all of the next for each of the next four fixtures, which is home to Everton, away to Bournemouth, home to Aston Villa, home to Newcastle. So I think if you've stuck around this long, you probably want to stick with him. And I don't know if I'd be transferring him in right now because his actual sale value at this point is 5.3. But for a lot of us who bought him at 4.5, it's I'm not willing to lose $500,000 to bring in someone else. I mean, especially
the only reason then to sell him is if say you need 0.2 or 0.3, if you stand to gain that from selling him to buy somebody else, then maybe you can justify it.
They have a run of fixtures in the kind of middle 30 weeks where they're away to Liverpool, home to Spurs, away to Man City, where maybe, if you're wild carding in the 30s, maybe you drop them for a Fraser Forrester or something like that. But I don't think it's an immediate – I don't think there's a pressing need to go to Butland, although I do agree that it's hard to feel as confident about him as you did in the past.
Yeah.
And Fraser Forrester to me is the obvious move if you're just ready to get rid of Butland or you want someone to rotate with Butland, you know. I mean, 4.8, it's a fair price.
What a week for England national players this game week with Wayne Rooney, Ross Barkley, Fraser Forrester, Dele Alli, Harry Kane. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. You got to be feeling great if you're an England fan.
And you're going to Euro 16, aren't you, Brandon?
I'm playing. It's going to be my first time playing, and I haven't picked a country. I haven't declared yet, but I'm really excited for the opportunity.
You've got citizenship for every country that's playing. Yeah, you're thinking about Wales, I know, but I know Northern Ireland is really tempting as well.
Yeah, any of the home nations, if they'll have me. Mm-hmm. So if somebody could just let me know what the deadline is for registration, I'll get my forms filled out and I'll send them in. No problem.
All right. Last question. It concerns a sad story, Brandon, a story of a man named Pyatt. And it comes from Pat Udamobile. Hope I said that right. Let us know, Pat, if we did, or if you want an uppercut panda style nickname that we can use.
Yeah, invent your own name. You can be whoever you want to.
Everyone, give us your name, and we'll use it from here on out. It says, "Do you see Pyatt coming back to play attacking center mid? Is he still a good shout otherwise?" So, he's always kind of. He moves around a lot in that team, I would say, in general. I mean, when they were playing at Newcastle, he was actually out on the left flank. I mean, he's really, I'm not sure that he has a fixed position. I think his central midfielder is his fixed position, but he moves around a lot within it.
If he's on the wing, he'll receive the ball, and after his third Cruyff turn, he'll be on the other side of the field. So I'm not sure it really matters what position he's played in. It's true.
It's just very frustrating. I mean, he is it's turned into like a Tadic type situation last year where, when you watch these matches and you look at the stats and how much he's controlling the game and,
he's so clearly the best player on the field.
Exactly. And yet he's hitting the crossbar all the time. He's off by just a little bit. I mean, he is so close to having double fixture hauls in each of the last three fixtures. At least I'm glad I at least had him for that Bournemouth game where he picked up 11 points.
Yeah.
But it's been 2-2 and 3 in the last three. And, I mean, it's obviously maybe I'd be a little less excited about bringing him in now. Yeah. If I were debating between like Ali and Pyatt, I'd bring in Ali. But I think, but away to Southampton, probably not a great fixture given where Southampton's is right now, in terms of their form. But then after that, it's away to Norwich, which, I mean, you could get away with captaining him in that game. Home to Sunderland, home to Spurs, away to Everton. I mean, these are all appealing fixtures. And I just think that it'll turn around for him.
I agree. He will get points. There's no way he won't get points. I'm just super bummed out that I brought him in for this Villa game, and I didn't immediately get returns. But as you were saying with Ali and Barkley, these transfers, you have to give them a few more weeks
exactly.
To pan out, and you have to believe that Payet, as good a player he is, he's going to earn out for you.
I totally agree. All right, so let's move on, Brandon, to the optimizer.
Oh, man. All right, let's fasten in,
buckle up,
get your helmet on, now Ross Barkley, get your big Barkley helmet on there with your number 20 on it.
I'm ready. All right.
Okay.
I think I'm ready to go here. You want to start
game week 25. God, we've done about I feel like we've done about 5 podcasts in the last, 7 days.
Yeah.
One podcast that only the 10 people in the government who monitor all our Skype phone calls have heard. But this is great. Yet another optimizer. Kick us off, Josh.
Start? You want me to kick us off? All right,
let's kick us off.
Okay. All right. Early morning fixture. Early morning for we Yankees. Man City host Leicester. That game is on at 7:45 a.m. And I'm such a nerd about this stuff. I'm gonna have a hard time sleeping. I know I'm gonna wake up at 5 a.m. for this game because I just. Yeah. I'm going to be so jacked up for him. Like, on so many levels, I'm excited for this match.
It'll be like a real Home Alone sort of situation if I oversleep and I find out that I miss like the first 30 minutes. I'll just like freak out.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for something along the lines of the 4th. Nothing will be as good as the 5-4 Liverpool Norwich match, but I would love a 2-1 Leicester win. I don't think that's going to happen. I actually think this could be close to the slightly cagey affair that we saw around Christmas time. Yeah. That was a 0-0 away to Leicester. I think my prediction is 2-1 Man City, Aguero goal and assist. And Okazaki goal for Leicester.
I think that's an interesting prediction. I have to agree that you think Leicester is going to get is going to scrap out something at some point. But City playing at home at the Etihad, they are got to be heavily favored. Yeah, 2-1, very plausible.
Yeah, I would love to see Leicester win this one. I'm certainly going to be. It's going to be a fun match because I'll have Mahrez and I'll have Aguero, and so I'll have fantasy players in the game. But I can also especially because I have Mahrez, I can just straight up pull for Leicester to win this one.
Yeah, the next two Leicester fixtures being City and Arsenal make me extra bummed that I didn't start Robert Huth against Liverpool, because now I'm going to have to bench Huth for two more games. So right. I missed like a you really missed, decent clean sheet. Yeah.
And two bonus points, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Rub it in there, Ross.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Then we move on to the big block of 10 a.m. fixtures. First one is Aston Villa hosting Norwich. Now, I believe old man Micah Richards who's been buried on my bench forever.
Micah!
Should make an appearance in this match. I don't
Listen,
know.
Listen, Josh, you know how I love an asymmetrical haircut, so I'm very happy to hear that Mike is going to be playing.
he started the last two matches. He looked pretty good in both matches. I mean, Aston Villa really held on for a long time, down a man. Home to Norwich is about as good as it's going to get for Aston Villa, who look better, even though they lost over the weekend. I mean, you know, they're pretty clearly going to go down, but it looks like they're going to fight a little bit longer.
Yeah, George R. Russell Martin, as predicted, did not get to play.
Yeah, so exactly. So I think Aston Villa won nothing.
This is an interesting one. It's basically a six-pointer, and Villa's just they absolutely have to win this game. And then
arguably the weekend's pure watch. I mean, outside of like the eight players who still have an Aston Villa player, a category including
my concern for Villa is that they'll be playing without one of their most potent offenders. Yeah, I mean, truly an offender after game week 24. But Jordan Ayew will be serving a ban for that red card. So. Yeah.
They're going to miss his two goals and one assist, but I think
that it's going to all fall to Gabby at Baglahore. Good luck to you, Gabby.
This could certainly be a 0-0 match as well. I mean, Norwich do not look good at the moment, and that Leicester, the Liverpool game had to be really dispiriting.
Yeah, for sure. I'm picking Norwich to win this game. Stephen Naismith with a hat trick.
Okay, with a hat trick. Wow.
Yeah. Go big. Go big or go home.
All right, Liverpool Sunderland. I assume this might be the match you watch. I guess there's a Spurs game too, but Liverpool Sunderland will be a game you'll watch with some interest, I imagine.
Yeah, I think I'll have to flip back and forth. I mean, Jordan Henderson will definitely be starting in my squad, but he's not a guy that you'd like definitely tune in for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, I do love a raking crossfield pass that does get me out of my seat. often. I'll definitely be looking for Hendo to get
the whole thing with you and Henderson here. Is just like, even when you transferred him in, you weren't that excited. It was like you did it just to do it. You were just like, I just want to make a move this week.
it was kind of an act of hubris, isn't quite it, but
Leicester were home that week. You transferred him out. It was That's right. I've been a million bad moves this year.
Yeah, he thankfully at least has got me a goal. But anyway, Hendo's got to do something for me against Sunderland, and I'm going to predict a 3-1 victory for Liverpool here.
Wow, I'm going to say a 2-2 draw. I think Sunderland is playing better. And Liverpool is just completely worn down from all of these matches, all of these repeats. I think they have another FA Cup repeat coming up next week too, because their draw with West Ham.
Yeah.
So it's just too much. It's just it's a tough season for Liverpool. I don't think anyone really blames Klopp. At least I know I don't. So this is the kind of match that Allardyce really gets up for. So I'm going to say two.
Yeah, and if watching, I mean,
they played Man City pretty. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to totally say the same thing, because watching those highlights of the second half of City Sunderland, they were like storming the castle for that entire second half. They just failed to put the ball in the net.
Exactly. So
you might be right there. It could be a tough game for Liverpool.
Okay, that brings us to Newcastle West Brom. Aston Villa Norwich. Sorry, this is your pure watch of the week. Is it even? Oh man, this is
no. It's your unwatchable game of the week. I think. I mean, the only thing compelling about this game to me is to see how the new signings at Newcastle really settle in together. I mean, Shelvey's got a handful of games under his belt now, but now he's got a few more buddies joining him, like this new striker dude and whatever his name is, and then Andros Townsend.
Yep.
So we'll see. West Brom will have a real fight on their hands.
Yeah, and Berahino, something to prove maybe after after his rumored transfer to Newcastle didn't go through.
You know what I would love? I would love to never have to talk about Berahino ever again.
Why wouldn't they? It felt like a lot of – assuming that rumor was true, it feels like a lot of money for a guy who can't even make the starting lineup.
Yeah, $25 million was the fee they were talking about? Yeah, craziness. Madness.
This is basically a must-win for Newcastle. I'm going to predict a 2-0 Newcastle win.
Fantastic. I'll go with that. I'll agree.
Okay. Spurs host Watford. Very interesting match. I mean, this is a match that I'm excited about even from a non-fantasy standpoint because I could see Watford – well, first of all, the match they played a few weeks ago – excuse me. The match they played a few weeks ago was a really tense, interesting match.
Yes,
Son totally. Scores that kind of accidental – not accidental, I should say, but you got a little lucky with the late
tackle. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Ighalo scored a great, hard-fought goal as well against a really tough Spurs defense. So it'll be an even match.
I'll predict the same scoreline. I'll predict a 2-1 Spurs win over Watford.
Yeah, assuming Spurs is fully healthy and comes ready to play, I think they'll have an easier time of it than they did over the holidays. But yet probably still a little close. So I would say 3-1. I think that at some point around the 70th minute, Spurs will wrestle full control and they'll cruise to victory.
Yeah, I think that. I mean 3-1 seems reasonable to me as well. Stoke Everton. What Stoke are we going to see? What Everton are we going to see? I think we'll see the Stoke that shows up against top opponents at home. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see like a 2-1 Stoke win and maybe Arnautovic finally comes back into form. And it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago that Arnautovic was like the must owned player in the league. I think his ownership, he was like up to like the fifth most owned player in the midfielder rankings.
Yeah. Now he's completely invisible. He's the lost man.
I know. And,
I'm taking Jonathan Walters over Arnautovic right now.
it's a bad run for our boy Arnie. So what do you think?
It's a very tough one to call. I think I almost need to know
more about Lukaku before we make a.
You really do, and Everton will need a focal point for the attack against Stoke to really do well. Though I mean, they did look really great in the second half without Lukaku, so maybe they'll find a system that works without him.
Yeah. I think we know that Everton concede goals. I say that on the same day they had a clean sheet against Newcastle, but that's a pretty toothless Newcastle team. I think Everton on the road. I would definitely expect Stoke to score a goal or two.
Yeah, this is a fixture that makes me much more easygoing about dropping Lukaku because I just can't predict what would happen in this game. So I'm fine to just shed my Everton players.
Yeah. All right. Next match is Swansea hosting Crystal Palace. A heartbreaking late goal for Swansea in their game against West Brom.
Oh, for sure. And to have it happen against such the least interesting team, like however many seasons running in West Brom.
I don't know. Aston Villa will give them a run for their money, Brandon.
It's true. At least Villa loses. At least they end up in compelling spots in the table. West Brom just always hovers around 16th place and can't even get a shot at the water cooler.
Yeah, but it's a Pulis team. So you know they'll never actually get relegated. But it has not been pretty.
Yeah, this will be an interesting game.
Gylfi Sigurdsson, a little underrated. We haven't really been talking about him very much.
Yeah, he's been picking up steam. I mean, you would take him over Andre Ayew at this point if you were forced to take a Swansea midfielder.
I agree. Eight and ten in his last two. Well, actually, before that, 8 points, 7 points, then a blank, and then 8 and 10. So, attacking 4 goals in his last 5 matches. So, someone to keep an eye on. Seems like there are places you know, I guess if you were looking to climb your table, if you needed a bit of a differential, I think he actually is kind of an interesting option. Let's look at their run of fixtures over the next few weeks. Yeah, Crystal Palace at home, Southampton at home, and then away to Spurs and Arsenal. For a two-week punt, maybe it makes sense.
I am a little cautious about that.
Yeah, you might want to wait. Around game week 29, it looks like the fixtures ease up a little bit. Then they have Norwich, Bournemouth, and Aston Villa three matches in a row. So maybe put him in the hold category for now. That said, I do think Swansea win this game. Crystal Palace still haven't been able to put it together. Bad loss at home to Bournemouth this week.
Really and, unlucky. I mean, Zaha, who I really like to hate on that guy for whatever reason, probably because he has no finishing product, but he appeared to be working his.
I know. I'm always saying this about Zaha. I don't know why you're not a bigger fan, because he's a very fun player to watch. He really, really hustles out there.
He does. Crystal Palace is, I guess, on form a better away team. I think they'll make it tough for Swansea, but you have to. Man, I could not pick a single clean sheet during this entire game week. Finding a lot of these fixtures sort of a total toss up.
Yeah, I'll throw out a 1-0 Swansea win over Crystal Palace. That seems like
it should be a fun reasonable game to outcome. Watch.
Yeah, it should be a fun game to watch.
Shamak totally screwed it up for Palace. He should have scored on a wonderful ball from Zaha.
I haven't seen the highlights of this one actually. I didn't catch any of that.
Check it out just for the Shamak blunder reel.
All right, so Southampton, West Ham. That's your evening fixture on Saturday, which is
fantastic.
Pretty good one. Fun one.
I'm gonna eat this like it were steak and potatoes.
Delicious. I'm gonna eat it like treacle, very very slowly and with deep satisfaction.
and then you'll get diabetes.
I really have a hard time predicting this one. Really evenly matched teams. West Ham have been known to really show up when they're playing opponents who are, you know, at their level or above. Southampton have kept four clean sheets in a row. I think it would be hard to bet against Southampton at home right now. And I do think that Charlie Austin will end up starting in this match. And I also think he will score in this match. So I am going to predict a 1-1 draw.
I am continually stunned by this Antonio run that he's put together.
Yeah.
He's just such a strange player to watch.
He's
just
it's a huge.
He's one of those, us being Michigan State basketball fans, he reminds me a lot of the recruited basketball athletes. Like, it's clear that it's not that they've ever hit the gym ever. They just got this crazy athlete's body. And they're like, you know what? We'll tap you to play a basketball. Now just get out there and hustle, son.
Nothing all season. And then 3 goals and 5 assists in the last, 7 games. Still only 5.3 overall. So despite everything he's done the last few games, he's actually only gone up 1/10, which is still 0.7 lower than his $6 million starting value.
Yeah. This West Ham
is 0.8. You have to be really bad to fall 0.8.
Yeah, you have to be like Antonio bad to fall that far. But yeah, he's putting it back together. I don't know. West Ham has a great run of fixtures coming, and this is probably the least appealing of all the fixtures. I've got Aaron Cresswell and Dimitri Payet just into my squad, but I'm not super enthusiastic about their odds against Southampton.
Yeah, so 1-1 seems about right to you as well?
Yeah, it does. It does. I guess Virgil van Dijk, he's been a guy that he's on a great run. He's in both of our squads, and I've found it difficult week in, week out to figure out a way to get him into my starting lineup. But I think I have to start him this week again, home to West Ham.
Oh, yeah, I think you have to. I mean, how can you not, really? I mean,
that man is due for a goal.
He's due for a goal, but he has 4 clean sheets in a row, and they're at home to a West Ham team that is pretty good but not great. I mean, to me, that is like a guaranteed.
All right, let's take a break from the optimizer real quick. Talk me through my defense for game week 25. So, refresher, I've got Glenn Johnson, Eric Dyer, Robert Huth, Aaron Cresswell, Virgil van Dijk.
Okay, who are the guaranteed starts here? Because it's hard to meet. In my head, I can't match them all up. So Glenn Johnson. Virgil van Dijk. Eric Dyer. Yeah. Okay, so Dyer, you're starting at home to Watford for sure.
Dyer starts. Glenn Johnson home to Everton.
Let's put that one on the table for a second. Okay.
Robert Huth has got to be benched because he's away at the Etihad. So
bench Huth. I think
so. Then I've got Van. So then, do I pit Van Dijk and Cresswell against each other, and also bench Glenn Johnson?
Yes, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think if Lukaku doesn't start, then I think you could make an argument for Glenn Johnson over Aaron Cresswell.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Aaron Cresswell is there's a lot of attacking threat with him.
Yeah, there's
too,
goal threat.
Yeah. So I think if you started Cresswell and Van Dijk, it would probably be okay. And I bet it's almost like. What is that? It's like when you split aces, you know, in blackjack. It's like one's going to pay for the other, you know. So yeah. It's like if you start both of them, you're probably going to get a clean sheet out of one of those two guys.
Splitting aces on always cheating. That's great. Right. But let the record show, I'm not predicting any clean sheets this week.
All right, that's fair. And I think Van Dijk's overdue for a goal too. He really is. I mean, he's a goal scoring machine at the start of the season.
I'll get a Cresswell and a Van Dijk goal in this game.
I doubt it. Brings us to Sunday. Bournemouth hosting Arsenal. I think this is the big Arsenal comeback game. This is where I'm really strongly thinking about bringing in Giroud for Lukaku. And I think this is a. I think Bournemouth will put up a good fight at first. But I think Arsenal really. I mean, they absolutely need this win. And I know that this is like. Just these Arsenal runs of awfulness, which they have every single season, without end, because there's no squad depth. At least from the forward line. So they have these games where they just can't score a goal.
There's squad depth, but it's such like mediocre talent on the bench.
It's all midfielders, you know. Yeah. It's all wingers who like can't create their own chances, you know. So it's I think Arsenal bounce back in a big way in this game. I think this is like a 4-1 win for Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm going to be thinking long and hard about Alexis Sanchez going into Saturday, and I'm going to be thinking of ways to get him into my squad so I can captain him, because I really like, and we mentioned earlier, you did, Ross Barkley, that he is not fully proven yet this season. He's been all hot and cold, but he's just so explosive, and this is a game that Arsenal will really need him, and he may come through.
Could be a little bit like that Leicester Arsenal game from the first half of the season.
Yeah.
So we're both okay. Big wins for Arsenal. We both predict. Chelsea Man U. Let's not belabor this one too much, because this to me like screams 0-0 or 1-0. Chelsea's defense looks a lot better. They kept a clean sheet today. I mean, they're not scoring at all, but the spine seems to be back in place with this team.
Right.
So that's something. So I think that there's, you know, and we nine pointer from Aspilicueta today.
Yeah. Three bonus points. He's got to be the defender that you pick up. And maybe if you're hunting a clean sheet, he's one to look at this game week.
I agree. All right. So that is it, Brandon. I think we got through that in something close to record time.
Wow, yeah, like, definitely the Maxell tape guy happening right now. We went through that so fast. But I feel like we covered sufficient ground for all the cheaters out there. So I hope you enjoyed listening, and remember to subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast on iTunes or on SoundCloud, Stitcher, anywhere that you pick up your podcast.
Yep, please follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. And join us on our Facebook page. And if you want to submit a bad Photoshop, we would love it.
Yeah. And we welcome all the new members of the Hail Cheaters Superliga, which you can still join. Just go to alwayscheating.com and our league code is there. All right, Ross Barkley, I think we did it. Great episode.
Yeah, I think we did. All right, Brandon, well, I will talk to you soon.
All right, Hail Cheaters, Poku forever.
Poku forever. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. at hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.